Our reading today from St. Matthew's Gospel begins at verse 13 of chapter 14. But to feel the full weight of this turning point in the life of the Lord Jesus, we must back up 10 verses. So listen to St. Matthew starting at verse 3 of chapter 14, which speaks of John the Baptist. Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though Herod wanted to put John to death, he feared the people, because they held John to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. Herod sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And John's disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. And that is where our text begins today. When Jesus heard of it, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Let's linger a moment with this tragedy and consider the many faces of evil on display here. Herod Antipas was a son of Herod the Great, the man who built the second temple as a sign of his power rather than his piety. The elder Herod also attempted to murder the Lord Jesus by killing all the baby boys in Bethlehem. And several years after that, Herod murdered his ex-wife and two of their own sons when one of them attempted to assassinate him. The wages of sin is death. Herod the Great and his sons were usurpers and puppets placed in power by the emperors of Rome, but they had no legitimate claim to the throne of Israel, which was given by the Lord to the house of David. Moreover, Herod Antipas lived in an immoral relationship with his sister-in-law, and he lusted after her daughter. The wages of sin is death. This is the same Herod Antipas who would later become friends with Pontius Pilate when they collaborated in the murder of Jesus. But on this occasion, Herod murdered the last prophet of the Old Covenant and the forerunner of the Messiah because he made a rash promise out of lust for a girl who did the bidding of her lawless mother Herodias, a vicious pagan who wanted John the Baptist dead to prevent him from speaking the liberating truth of the Word of God. The wages of sin is death. Now, when the Lord Jesus received news of this depravity, what did he do? He got into a boat by himself, crossed the lake, and went to a deserted place to be alone in silence, because he felt the weight of the sins of the world, as he would again on the cross. As part of the great jubilee of the year 2000, St. John Paul the Great visited Jerusalem, and when he stood in the stark Hall of Remembrance at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust memorial, John Paul said, "In the face of such evil, the soul feels an extreme need for silence." And even the Lord Jesus felt that same need for silence in the face of evil, but his solitude did not last. The private retreat of the Lord Jesus was interrupted because a great multitude of people hurried around the shore of the Sea of Galilee to meet him on the far side. The Savior sought solitude to mourn the death of his cousin and herald. But there was no time for consolation, because when Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. But then came a new problem: how to feed so many people in such a remote place at day's end. And here we come to the only miracle recorded by all four of the Gospels: the feeding with a mere handful of food of 5,000 men, along with a great crowd of uncounted women and children. But today I want to look not at the miracle, but at three small details of this event. First, please note the action of the Lord Jesus in taking, blessing, breaking, and giving the bread to the multitude, because here is a preparation for the Mass. At his Last Supper, Christ repeated this pattern of taking and blessing, breaking and giving the bread as his body, and he commanded the apostles to do the same. 2,000 years later, we're still doing it, and still feeding all those who come to the Lord's Supper exhausted, broken, bereft, and seeking the bread of life. The second thing to notice is that Christ did not feed the hungry multitude with his own hands. Instead, Matthew tells us, the Lord Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. The apostolic office was created by Christ to continue his ministry until the end of days. And in the celebration of the Most Holy Eucharist, the Lord Jesus continues to feed his people through the hands of the bishops and priests who stand in apostolic succession. The third detail to notice is that many crumbs were left over after the meal. Matthew tells us that after these many thousands of people had eaten their fill and were satisfied, they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. The 12 patriarchs of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb are, when taken together, a providential sign that the whole human race is called to be one people, united in love, redeemed from sin and death, sanctified by grace, and destined for eternal glory as children of God and heirs of his eternal kingdom. And now, 12 baskets are filled up with the crumbs left over from this miraculous meal, showing that God's superabundant love never offers us just enough to get by, but instead provides everything we need and more if we will but seek him with the same insistent devotion shown by this crowd who raced around the lake just to be with Jesus. Friends, this world is constantly in chaos because all human hearts are always in chaos. And such has been the case since our first parents were seduced into a rebellion they thought would make them gods, but instead caused them to fall below the full dignity given to them by our Creator. The wages of sin is death. The same depravity that led to the death of John the Baptist lives in every human heart in some form. And the only remedy for that darkness is the one who is light from light. Chaos will never be banished from the world until it is first driven from every human heart by Christ Jesus, from whose love, as St. Paul assures us in the second lesson, absolutely nothing can separate us. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only the Lord Jesus can create in our hearts and minds the peace which surpasses all understanding. And he does this by his grace through the means of the seven sacraments and the sacred scriptures. By revealing the sacred mysteries of the kingdom of God, Christ alone gives the peace which the world cannot give. And so, we come to Christ with our sins. From Christ, we receive mercy and healing. By Christ and through his church, we are fed with the bread of life. And for Christ, we live by grace alone, through faith, hope, and love, to bear witness in a violent and chaotic world that Christ alone is the Lion of Judah and the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the Word made flesh and the Lamb once slain who lives forever. The Lord Jesus Christ.